Welcome to a new episode of Fighter Mindset Podcast, episode 59. And today I'm joined by my good friend, Philip Heel from Denmark. He is a student of Mikael Schelling, who's been on the podcast twice. And Philip has been practicing the art of Bujinkan, Taijutsu, for years and years. And he's using the knowledge and skills he have for empowering and helping women to love themselves and get this inner warrior fighting spirit. And many of the women he's been helping and teaching has been in very bad relationships. They've been abused and so on. And he's creating this inner warrior academy that you can check out. I will put a link to it in the show notes. And you can also follow Philip's work on LinkedIn and YouTube. And also Facebook, of course. Take care. Have a lovely weekend. Philip Heel.
Yes,
welcome,
sir,
to Fighter Mindset Podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. Finally. So, I've been talking with your sensei.
Mikael Schelling.
Mikael Schelling.
Yeah.
Twice. And I told him, I'm having Philip on. Philip, he was happy to hear that. And of course, we all know Erlen, one of my old friends from back in the days when I was growing up. I remember looking up to him because he had this like, well, he came up from the military and he was like, cool guy. I was his young breath. And then years later, I reached out and we've been talking and it's, yeah, good guy.
Yeah, he's a strong dude.
Yeah. And it's my first meeting with Mikael Schelling was 10 years ago. I was living in Denmark. I was supposed to move home, but then I had to train with him. So I trained. I went there for one session. He arranged it. He brought some of his students, and we trained back in the old location you had in
Christopherhusen.
Yeah. And we spoke almost 10 years later, and we had a long talk and learned so much.
Cool. Yeah. Glad to hear.
And then I've been following what you're doing. I think that we have the same, like, we've been talking a bit about you're having the Inner Warrior Academy, helping women out of suffering. And I'm working on my anti-bullying program, helping kids, well, preventing them from ending up in suffering. So it's so interesting to see how we can meet on a mutual and on the same place.
Yeah, more the same platform.
More right? Same platform, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
So I would love to hear about the story, your background from Bujinkan and how you're bringing it to the Inner Warrior Academy.
Well, maybe we should start from the beginning or what?
Yeah.
I mean, earlier or what? Because I was brought up with no dad. I didn't have a dad. So when I finally, my mom, she got divorced quite early. And then I had a stepfather from Holland, and he was a Dutch Marine. He came from the jungle war in Papua New Guinea, and I didn't feel safe with him. So actually, I started judo when I was 8. Just to feel safe, and then my martial art journey became, I did gymnastics also and track, but then I was training a lot because I had a lot of emotional, it was very emotional, mentally abusement. You were like navigating, I would say he was a psychopath, so you were navigating in how to move in an environment like that, but you always have to be on alert, right? Sorry. So I was brought up by actually by fighting and feeling danger all the time. So I had to relearn to not be in a stressful state all the time, in a fight mode all the time, right? So later when I was a teenager, I started kickboxing because every time you were in town, there was always fights. I said, okay, I need to learn something else. And but then when I was 18, because I was also quite angry, I had to let out some steam, right? But then later I didn't like that part of me being angry. So I wanted to become a better person. So eventually I said, I want to be a better person. Eventually I want to be a good person. That was my goal. I know I'm a better person. I'm not sure if I'm a good person, but that's somebody just that. But at least what I did was I started meditating and I started doing Tai Chi instead. So this movement from, actually it's also a martial art, yeah? But it's more working with the energy and the healing and of your energies in your body and all this. That was at least this part of I looked at it. And the meditation, what happened there was I started actually liking myself better and I could talk to people in a different way. I did talk to me in a different way and I changed. And then I started meditating more. But so I was going this path of meditation and still having this touch of warrior art, martial art. And when 9/11 happened, then I decided I want to be a warrior. I want to be able to protect. I could fight, I could protect myself, but I didn't know how to protect other beings. And I started being a Buddhist since 93, and my Lama said it's very important to protect women and all this. So he actually put that seed into me. Later I discovered how important it is, but that was the first seed that came from him. And then I started Bujinkan like a month later after 9/11. So I started October 2001, right? So I've been doing it for 20 years now. Yeah, I love it. It's a beautiful art. And when I started, I mean, I remember the teacher, he was the first. I mean, I had several teachers at school. We had several people teaching. And this guy, Alexander, he was testing everything. He was doing things. And we were doing every Saturday, we were having suit on and we were just beating the crap out of each other and filming it and what works, what doesn't work. So we were testing a lot of things. It was full month, yeah. It was no holding back. First time I was like, what is this happening? And I was like, okay, so this doesn't work for kickboxing. Okay, so I was thinking about the whole week and okay, that works. Okay, then I tried this and then boom, boom, boom. So I was testing a lot of things. But the first training I had, he said, now I'm going to hit you on the shoulder. And he hit me so hard. So I clenched my fist and I wanted to hit him. I was like, maybe not. Maybe bad idea. But that got me interested. And but then all these things with MMA started and became more curious about these things. And I was in the 30s, so I didn't want to waste my time. So I was like, okay. But actually, I went to Japan. Luckily, I went to Japan instead of starting my MMA. No disregard for that. But if I didn't go to Japan, I probably would never have met my teacher the way I did our Japanese grandmaster. And grandmaster is a wrong word. It's American translation of soka. Soka actually means like you're zero, you're nothing. You're just become. If you're nothing, you can be everything, right? If you're everything, you can be nothing.
That's the profound. Yeah.
So meeting him, that was like a light bulb, boom, and I was like, wow. For me, it was like the highest teaching of philosophy and everything combined, and I was like, wow, this is just one thing. This is like there's no end to this. And I've been to Japan 15 times since then, and Soke is totally amazing, and he's really, really, really something. And I also discovered when I was in Japan, there was not so many women. We were 90 guys and maybe two or three girls, and I was like, this is strange. And I like women, so I also wonder why don't we have more women in our dojo, and and I got inspired to why don't we have more, because we went to Sweden and then we agreed on having women's seminars. So I started teaching with a woman called Susanna, and then eventually we invited Sheila Haddad, and Sheila and me, we had a strong connection from the beginning. It was like boom, and she kind of took me under the wings to how to teach women. And I grew into that. And then it's also coincidences happening. It's like the Marshall wind takes you different places if you're aware about it. Yeah. So yeah. Mikael called me and said, my teacher, my Danish teacher, he said, oh, there's this place they called, and Susanna can't do it. We don't have a woman can do it. Can you do it? I said, yeah, sure. So I was teaching women who left prostitution. I did that for 3.5 years. And I'm also a somatic teacher from Feldenkrais, which I also call neuro impact movement, because you're working with the nervous system, right? So you're recalibrating your brain, you're recalibrating your nervous system. So this whole movement system is really like learning how to move, learning how to learn, actually. But anyway, I was teaching these women, and they have all the bad stories you could imagine in your life. They are worse than any movie you saw in your life. They are really, really bad. And the first 3 times I came home, I collapsed. I was like, "Gonk!" I was just sleeping. Yeah. So I said, wow, okay, I have to do it in a different way, because it's really, really impactful. And they always ask, what if he does this? What if he does? What if he strangles you against the wall and you have an axe in your other hand? That was the kind of stories they said, yeah. So that was the level of things that, they were really, really bad stories. And they told how they were totally smashed, and how they were, things were happening mentally first and then physically, and really, really bad. So they were very in stress mode. They were very, they were all in, not all, but many of them was in PTSD mode, right?
Yeah.
So how do you teach people like that? I couldn't teach the normal way I was used to teach. So I had to come up with okay, I start doing my Feldenkrais, my neuro impact movement, my awareness through movement, and I did Qigong movement, standing and things like this. And eventually slow, and then I did movement I learned from Sheila's stop exercises where you use your voice. And so I was growing into it like this. And they were also teaching me to learn. They were also learning me how to teach acting. Because every time I had a plan, I had to adapt to it all the time, because I could not be strict to it, because suddenly they were freaking out and said, okay, what is happening? And then we're going this. So every situation I took as a learning situation. Yeah, maybe say, I don't want to be in that. I don't want to do this. Okay, fine. It's totally good. Very good. You say no. Exactly what this is about, that you have your border, you know your borders, and you say no. And then I was still testing her, because I wanted to see if she really meant it. She said, no, I don't want to do it. Fine. And then respect it. And then I use it for the whole group. I said, can you see? So I was using it. And eventually, they wanted to come in, because I respected the border. And then eventually they want to come in. And then they told me I was raped like this, and then that happened, and okay, show it on me. And then said, okay, you can do this and do that. And one, she was like, really strengthening. I was like, I said, it's much harder than that. I said, okay, wow, okay. And then we were doing exercises out of the blue, like, what can you do? So we were just inventing what is possible, when is it dangerous, what happened. And they were telling me strong stories about when they fought back, and the guy was running away, or things like this. I have many stories. And if we have time, I can share these stories. But the thing is, when that happened, then it was like my jacket fit. And then some friends, they invited me from Poland first and said, why don't you make a weekend seminar here? I said, okay, cool, let's do that. And then I did it, and then it just exploded. So the first 2 years I had 20 seminars a year, crash courses around Europe. And that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because in the end they were beating me up. So I was like, and then I did 10 seminars for some more years. So I did, I think all together I did maybe 70,
80
seminars, right?
That's beautiful. So like, I have a question, like, how do you mentioned you're doing these crash courses or whatever you like to call them. How are they being followed up after these seminars? Because what I've seen in my short period of time traveling, like being on seminars, and I've held two seminars for women, but still, like, I have so much to learn, and I've learned. I spoke with a woman called Miss Assault. She was one of the pioneers for women's self-defense. But how do you, like, how do you follow up and take care of them and nurture after these seminars?
Well, I think it all depends on how you teach.
Mm.
And actually, most, I mean, that you have to understand the concept of teaching them, because I think that's where many men go wrong. That's why I made a video where I said, maybe we taught women wrong. Mm. And I know the title is a little provocative, and it's also meant to be. And because often, as a martial artist, we teach martial artists. We teach martial art as self-defense, which is totally wrong. And also, I mean, there's three levels, and that's martial art. There's no end to that. That's the refining as a human being. And then you have warrior art. It's like repetition and again, you do the same thing and you do the same thing and again, it's like drilling, like military. Mm. And then the basic level is self-defense. And that should just be poke out the eyes, smack him and grab his balls, bite them up or whatever. Yeah? Totally basic and nothing to do with martial art. It's survival. So self-defense is not fighting. Self-defense is not getting into the situation. Self-defense is having such a strong attitude within yourself and your self-worth and you love yourself so much that you are worth of protecting.
Mm.
So if you don't have that core, what are you protecting? So there are also a lot of people, they want to learn to fight because they like the fighting or that's their pros to fighting.
Yeah.
Like I started judo, I did it because I didn't feel safe. So there's many approaches, but then you go to it for a long time. But you cannot do that as a self-defense course. Then you go totally off. And the thing is, you cannot do drilling. If you do drilling and say, learn this technique, then you're totally off. So what I did with this new impact movement, you have to do something that is very fast. For example, that they get into the nervous system, understand why I have to have my hands up. I call it Italian sense. Why the hands up? Because if they're down, I smack you in the face. And then, okay, I need the hands up. And you could do drills like that. So your nervous system understand, okay, I need to have my hands up here. I need to have them engaged to control the person. So my body sends out a signal to that person that you have to get around my arms in order to hit me. And I get my nervous system a space, a moment where I have some controlling so I can make my subconscious brain relax. And the subconscious brain's job is to keep you safe. So it can go totally on alert. But if it learns that, okay, now I feel more safe because you do body posture. So the body and the mind is connected. So you cannot divide that. You have to understand that. That's why in Bujinkan we have different movement that is called Kamai, which is you're protecting. It's natural movement, like the flinch, like Tony Blauer. I always call him Jack Blauer. Tony Blauer.
The spear.
The spear system. It's just normal Kamai from old ancient martial art, because what is dangerous when you have a weapon is show an open part, because you get chopped or you get killed, right? So no openings is the most important. So you try, and if you have an opening, I'm luring you in. I make an opening. In the boxing, you do the same thing. You make an opening, so he thinks there's an opening, and it's not an opening anyway. But you lure him in, right? It's the same thing. So if you have your hands up, he talks about the spear system, you have to come around it instead of middle way. So that's the same thing with the Italian hands. You talk and you learn to talk like that, and they're out there like bouncers, always standing like this, or the hands up here, right?
Yeah.
So if you learn them systems like that, and you do all kind of drills, walking around, and you know, so you play it in. That's what Soka, he always says, play, have fun. If you play, your brain relaxes much more. When you're drilling or learning to fight, like in a self-defense mode, like military, your nervous system is like on fire.
Yeah, on alert all the time. Paranoid.
Then you're going back to your old story. You are actually just having all the flashbacks that is running in your memory. So you're not learning. That's why Japanese Budo, you have to go slow. And that's the whole thing with awareness to movement. You go slow, so you can observe. Sorry, I have something in my throat. Just a second.
Love it. And
when you have awareness, we have awareness. Your subconscious brain relaxes, and then you can be aware. What are you doing? You have to know what you do in order to do what you want. And some of the women in some of the video testimonials I have on my homepage in a War Academy, then she's saying, the cool thing was we were not copying Philip. It came from myself. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, this is awesome. I was like, yes, I was celebrating because, of course, I teach something. I show them things, but she felt it came from herself. And that's what the unique thing is about Neo Impact Movement, because they learn to sense themselves from inside. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what Soka does. He always did that. He said, don't copy me, but go for the feeling. So the feeling, the sensing is important. You're not only sensing that person, you're sensing yourself from inside. And when you're sensing yourself from inside, you calm down your nervous system and you can feel him totally where he is. Mm-hmm. And then you can feel the openings. And that is, if you can give that, and I managed somehow to give that during this weekend. So it became a natural movement from them. And of course, some women went for 4 or 5 courses. They went again and again and again and became advocates for my weekend crash courses. They also were the one host for it. But the thing was, they experienced that every time they went for a weekend crash course, they changed. And the courses were always different. And it's true, it's different because I change. So I tell it in a different way, or I try things and say, okay, that's too complicated. Okay, I put it down a notch. Okay, that's too complicated, I put it down a notch. That's simple, that works. So I was crafting it. I was peeling the onion to getting into the core. What can they learn that is naturally inside them and get that out? Because they have it inside. And that's, okay, maybe that's the woman you talk about. She was also referring to the book, Gift of Fear. I talk a lot about trusting your gut feeling and everything, all this kind of stuff with the women and all the women who told me the stories who left prostitution. I tell these stories as well. But the thing is, we are conditioned from our past, from our culture, from our family, how to believe, how to think. And as a woman, or even boys are taught like that, but mostly women, especially some generations, those who have brothers are better because they used to fight with brothers. Some of them are. Those who are not, they're like, okay, you have to sit like this. You cannot behave like that. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. So they don't allow themselves to be heard, to say their voice, say no, or I don't want that, or step away, or fuck off, or whatever. All these things I teach. And when they get that, they get it from inside. So it becomes a natural thing because they have the inside.
Yeah, so that's same, what I teach. Same like I'm teaching my daughter how to be confident, and I'm building it so it can come from herself. And I did it. I was spending some time with her, and we went to a friend of mine who has a bigger place to tumble around. And I thought there's this important of saying stop and putting the foot in front. And suddenly when she does, she did like this. And she was like, you could see how happy she was. And she told me, Daddy, I said stop. They were teasing me in the kindergarten, but I said stop. And it's so important to teach me as a father, the importance to raise my daughter to say no. And to be confident, it's so important. And I can see how her body changes, the body language changes when she's becoming confident by saying stop and putting her hands out and say stop. And it's so important to build that up. And
super important. And
as you say, if
super important.
Or many teach them to teach, or we teach the women or the boys and girls to say, to just ignore. And for myself, I couldn't raise my own voice until I was an adult, because I went to train jiu-jitsu because I want to protect myself against bullying, but I never said stop. But I've changed as well. And when I was a part of a church, same being what you call like, the Danish world, Norwegian world, unakuet, what's the word? They're putting some rope, and you're not allowed to raise your voice. So as you said, like we're taught to behave.
Restrained.
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 So it's so amazing to hear what you're doing. So
how it's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff. I just had one client, and she told me she haven't been dating for 10, 15 years. She bought my basic course on this online course. She was doing things, and we were chatting a little, following up on her, how she's doing. And then she wrote, I'm now trying to date just to see my level where I am right now. I was like, wow, that's a success. But the whole thing comes from inside. So it's a lot about courage. First of all, you need to feel safe in yourself. And actually what that is your subconscious brain that tells you another story. Because the thing is, I mean, how I understand it now is it's so much connected to our subconscious brain, what it's telling us, and it's very subtle. So the thing that we need is the awareness. Your awareness is your protection. So if you don't have awareness, the most important to protect is your heart or your mind, right?
Yeah.
If you don't do that, I mean, you can chop off your fingers, your hands, and la la la. But in the end, I mean, it's your mind you have to protect. If you go lose your mind, you're gone. So and everything can happen to the body, but you can never kill the spirit or the mind. So the thing is, you can break a spirit, but you can unbreak it. Yeah. You have to really heal yourself and connect to that unlimited space you have inside, unlimited love you have inside, and know you're not dependent on outside things to feel love. And when you find out that you can have that feeling of taking care of your body, liking yourself more, then you change. And actually, some of the women that told me, the women who left prostitution, they told me, they came and they said, oh, Philip, you know, I feel young again. I feel like dancing. I was like, wow, what happened? I just do the exercise you taught us. I do it at home. And now I feel so elegant and light. And it's like, wow, this is cool. And another story is really cool, because the thing is, when you start liking yourself, when you do small movement where you really like for the pelvic tilt is like, you sit straight, for example, and you can try that now, right now. So you can sit on your hands, try to sit on your hands. So, and then you tilt your pelvic back and forth like that. And then you can feel that your sitting bones are diving into your fingers, or your fingers are diving deeper into the chair. And you can actually, if it's not a soft chair, you will really feel it. But then remove your hands. And now you can feel the dents. Can you feel that? The sensation of your sitting bones. They make it dense. So especially if you sit on a hard chair, you can really feel it. So that, and then you can keep on tilting. Then you can feel your sitting bones. And when you get that sitting bones, and you can do it very soft, very little, then you can feel the connection with your pelvic and your spine and your head and everything. And then you get that connection with your core, with your real strength, with your spine. And you feel strong without being physically strong, without being a bodybuilder, a power lifter. You can feel the strength because you connect your bones. And that's how you should hit. You should hit with the whole skeleton, boom. But what happened to this woman when she did this movement, all these small movements, she came to me and she said, you know what, Philip? I came home and I said to my boyfriend, it's over, you have to go. And he would normally just smack her, but he just looked at her and then he turned around and he left. And he would,
she's
so powerful. He would normally smack the whole home and smash her and everything. But the thing is, when she just changed her level of consciousness, the level of she's, they're not matching anymore. The energy doesn't go together because she changed and she changed from inside. That's why I really believe it's so important that we connect that inner feeling. I think the more the Buddha that Soka gave us is so vast, and there's things that opens up and you look at it and you say, wow, actually it's a martial art of compassion, which sounds crazy when you talk about martial art. But I mean, if you look at Buddhism, there's many Buddhist martial arts. So, and the base of that is compassion. So what is that? So you have to to understand that compassion is one thing inside, but you have to have that for yourself first. You have to love yourself and like yourself better. Mm. And if you don't do that, it is so often when you get scared, you get angry, and you react. You're not acting anymore. You are determined what other people do around you to you. And it doesn't come from inside. You're not acting, you're reacting. Mm. And when you're reacting, you're not in control anymore. So you need that awareness to feel, okay, now I get scared, or now this happens and my subconscious brain is freaking out. And I have all the stories like a movie coming, like all this flash is coming, and it goes like this. You don't even see it. Then you need breathing. And you calm down, and then you can look. I say, this is what has happened. Now I'm in control. Okay. And you can tell your brain, okay, this is a different story. It's not connected. Okay, I can see. Now I can see. Because before I couldn't see. Now I can see. That's why in the American Army, they invented mindfulness. They call it mind fitness, because military guy don't like mindfulness, but mind fitness is cool. Yeah. But I read this story about a guy. He was like, he was very blurred when he went out. He was so stressed. But when he started doing this breathing exercises, he was opening up, and he could see, okay, does he take a phone? Is it a gun, or is it a phone, or is it cold? And what is it? Is it a kid? Do they have a weapon or things like that? So he expanded his awareness. So you get more and more aware of where is the real danger. And when you have the connection with your space inside, you connect to the space outside. And with that feeling, you can sense dangers also. So the gut feeling is everybody knows. I mean, you can explain it with science, but they don't really agree on everything. So, but if you go just by what we all know is, you can look at somebody I was testing this when I was living on first floor on a very busy street. I was looking at people, and they were turning around and they were looking, and they couldn't find the person because they was looking from upstairs, right? So I was testing if people could feel it, and people feel it, and you feel it. You turn around and somebody's looking at you. So we have this sense. So space is not dividing us. Space is connecting us. So the feeling of being separate is an illusion. And we can sense everything around us. And the more we are in control of our own senses, a feeling of ourselves, we can sense space around us. So, and in science, you would say that everything is, I mean, we know it's logic. We have skin, flesh, bones, and it's all tissues and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, we have atoms and neurons and protons, and then that's nothing. It's only space, right? And everything is like that. So the space is connecting us. The space is connecting, and there's atoms moving around everywhere. Yeah, because we think we are real. We are real. So it's not the world you see. You don't see the world as it is. You see the world as you think it is. You project. Your brain is a projector. So the more you get your awareness clear, and you see, that's an old story. You can tell your subconscious brain, talk about bullying. I was bullied as a kid, and this happened. And then you can say, okay, that was in the past. In the past, I felt I was bullied. Now I know and feel I'm not bullied anymore. I'm strong. I'm happy. I'm free. And then you can say that a few times, and then you can rewire your brain, because what it is 10 billion neurons, 100 billion neurons in your brain, 100 billion, 80 to 100 billions, and they all have 10 to 40,000 connections. And all like they are just, and then they connect. Every time you learn something new, there's new connections. So what is happening is the old wire is just telling you a story, because the subconscious brain, the oldest part of our brain, is to keep us safe. It's the brain that tells, okay, what is in the bushes? Is it something that eats me, or is it something that I can eat? So the brain remembers this because its job is to keep you safe. So it's not working against us. It's just telling the same story all the time, because it was an experience. I burned my hand on the stove. Okay, don't put your hand on the stove. It's a bad idea when it's turned on. Things like this, right? Yeah. So it's giving you stories like that. That's also why when you learn by pain, boom, okay, that's an opening. I remember I had some openings, and Mikael is just bang, boom, okay, that was an opening. Thank you. So you say thank you. So next time, okay, I have to cover this, I have to cover that. But if you train slow, you start seeing these openings, and you know how there's openings, and you can work with them in a different way. so you sense there's an opening, and if you know it, you can also lure him in. But if he also feels that, if he's good, he also feels there's an opening and he doesn't take it. So don't take what is obvious for you, what you want, but just see what appears instead. That's a totally different thing. You don't, if you take things, so we said, if you take things, you steal it. But somebody grabs you, it's a gift, you could break it, right? Then put a wrist lock, boom, break it, thank you. But the thing is, the more we make our subconscious brain relax and we are noticing the game that is happening within us, we can tell it a new story. Mm-hmm. And the more we are in sync with whom we think or who we want to be, and not the stories that was before, because the subconscious brain is only living, I mean, in a space that doesn't know the past or the future. It's just replaying the same thing all the time. So if you are letting that part of your brain telling you how to react, you are reacting and not acting. So mm-hmm. that's why you need awareness. And that's why I have awareness through movement. So you relax and you observe and you say, okay, now I react with anger or fear. Just relax. Okay, I have different possibilities. I can do this. I can do that. So you bring that into your life in everything, every situation, and your life becomes more rich. Socrates says, I'm not teaching you to fight. I'm teaching you how to live. Everybody can fight. I'm teaching you how to live. And that's my goal. My goal is for these women to feel safe and to find the inner warrior so they can go into the world and inspire other women to be strong and happy and free. That's my real goal. Yeah, and if they have been emotional, mental, or physical abused, or they are afraid of it, then I can teach them how to move, what to be aware of, and things like that. But mostly, they have to get the inner core to feel safe, relax, and get the brain coherence with the heart coherence, what they want to have in their life. So then there's no obstacles. There's only the obstacles you put in front of yourself. I mean, maybe you cannot beat world record in 100 meters or whatever, but that's not the thing. The thing is the obstacles that you set for yourself, that I want to be free and happy. I want to live this life. I want to make this possible. Yes. Then what is holding you back? Maybe it's your subconscious. Your mother or your father said, you can't do that. You're not good. We never did that in our family, whatever. Go sit like this, do like that. And all these small things, they are very, very subtle. And that's why awareness is really key. And you have to notice that. So if you can see it, you can also liberate it. You can see it. That's it. Okay. But you need to get into, you need to put you out of your comfort zone. Because the thing is with the subconscious brain, I mean, the brain in general, it likes peace. It doesn't like to work too much. I mean, subconscious brain is taking care of 95 to 97% of the brain's work. That means it also takes care of the heart, the lungs, the breathing, everything. Yeah, this is all functioning, the kidneys, the liver, everything. So there's a lot of things it has to do. Luckily, it takes care of that, fine. But the thing is, there's also a lot of things that we can tell it to do, but it wants to preserve energy. So as soon as you want to learn a new language, you learn to new sport or whatever, it's difficult. I cannot do that. I'm telling you stories. Stay here safe. I want to watch TV. Okay. So you're numbing yourself. We are all numbing ourselves instead of having a growth mindset. We have a fixed mindset. And every time you feel we're fixed, or every time you feel provoked, we maybe procrastinate. We maybe stop ourselves. I need a nap. Yeah. Take it easy. It's hard. I cannot do this or whatever. And you make excuses. We make excuses for ourselves in order to justify it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to go to training today. It's raining and it's not good. And anyway, it's COVID or I can't do this. Or I cannot do that. Whatever excuses we have, I should do this exercise, but I don't feel like it today. So I think it's better. I also relax a little. I should maybe relax a little. And if you have all these excuses, you will never make it.
No.
When I get onto my unit, we were 45, we wanted to get in, and we were 6 in the end. This is like altogether 22 days test, and it's over 3 months or something like that. But what happened was, I was like, giving up is not an option. The last 7 days we had, like this hell week, whatever you can call it, I remember the captain said, take 1 hour at a time. 1 hour at a time. And that's what Soka says. He said, go step by step. Don't concentrate about you're going to be out there. I'm going to be, for example, a millionaire or a billionaire. I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. No, take it. I take this step. And I take the next step. And then I take it. And suddenly you are a different place. It's like, wow. Okay, now I'll take another step. And you change by incremental stacking of habits.
Yeah.
Small habits every day. Just do 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Everybody have 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then eventually you want to do 1 hour. It's like, wow, this is cool. I feel great. I want to do more. And what is really cool, I mean, really, I think he was a basketball player. I mean, some of the really, really high level sports people, they use like, I think 1 to 2 hours a day working with their mindset.
Hmm.
Not training, not doing physical thing, but imagining the goal, where they're going, where they want. So they're living in the future.
Hmm.
They're priming their brain to take that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So they are the best students. They are priming their brain and they are looking in the future. So they are, you have to exercise your brain, your nervous system. And absolutely. And the nervous system, brain is one thing, right?
Yeah.
So the sensation, the feeling, everything, and you have that. You have sensation, feeling, how you move, how you sense. You're calming down your brain. Mm. You're not just fighting because you're afraid. Oh no, I roll like this. But if you can have a good partner, you can sense and feel, and then you can move in different way. This opening, then that opening. This is cool. And then you're playing together. And then in a real fight, it can change. Real fight can be many things. It can be big chaos. But it can also be in slow motion. I experienced that a few times. Boom, everything went slow motion. I was like, okay, then I can do this, and I can do that. Oh, that's too violent. I was a security guard, yeah. So that's the mind can do many things.
Yeah, yeah.
A fight, an MMA fight is different because they are somebody has to go out as a winner, right?
Yeah.
But a fight on the street or military, you want to survive. You want to get home.
There's so many. What's the word? Factors,
many factors.
And
also one thing, because I talked about compassion, the thing is we misunderstand sometimes. If somebody wants to attack you, you feel, okay, this is really dangerous, I'm gonna die, or he's gonna rape me, I mean, and you poked your hand out and suddenly you took his eye, boom, with the thumb, boof, oh sorry, he lost an eye. And I saw this video, a guy, he was in some jungle and he had to fight some people. It was a test. And actually he poked him in the eye and the guy, he fainted for half an hour.
Yeah, I've seen it was on special forces. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a storm, there was a lot of things. But anyway, but he came and he took the fight and he said, the reason why I survived and they didn't kill me, these people, was because I didn't go further. When he could have continued, but he didn't. He left him, and he didn't experience him that he would. He didn't expect him to go into his hand. He was just keeping his kamae, and the guy went in, but deep in, and he fainted for half an hour. He was gone. So, but what I want to say with that is, if you do a thing to stop a person, you're actually stopping him in doing a very bad deed. Mm. Meaning two things: you survive, and you don't get that thing in yourself. And you did it to survive and get home to your family, your kids, and your friends, everything. So that's for you. And for him, you stop him in being a murderer, a rapist, or whatever, right? So you're stopping, and maybe you're stopping for good. He's not going to continue. Maybe it's like, whoa, one eye raper, maybe not so good, but whatever, yeah. But I mean, if you have to understand that hurting another human being can be a necessity for you to go home. But the thing is, can you do it without anger? If you have to have anger in order to survive, fine. But if you can, one good friend of mine, Jack Hoban, he's actually in this martial art, Bujinkan as well, but he actually one of the teachers of the teacher of the close combat teachers in the Marines. Mm. So he made a system for those guys. And he's actually, I think 4 times a year, he's going to all the teachers and he's actually teaching the boys not to have anger in killing situations. Mm. Because if you do that, the risk of PTSD is so much higher.
Yeah.
So when I teach the women, I give them pain. I take them in the face and I go in and gums and ears and eyes and really bad things. And it hurts my heart every time I do it. Mm. The first time I did it, I felt so bad. But I also go out eating with the women. It's my debriefing, but it's also their debriefing. So we go out in the evening, we talk together, we're together, and I'm a normal person, they're normal. Beautiful. We just like have, but it's very important. For me, it's very important. For them, it's very important. But the thing is, one woman, she said, because I asked, is it okay? She said, Philip, we couldn't run away. And you showed our own power. It's just like this. Perfect. I have no big nails, but they're normal nails, right? Boys' nails. But it is so painful. And I did it in a boxer once. He came for training. Can you try that on me? Yeah, sure. And boom. And I took him down in the ground. Boom, and then the training was over. I was talking to my two instructors, my teachers, Mikkel and Miguel. And we were just talking. He came over. Sorry, can I interrupt? Yeah, sure, sure. And he said, well, I boxed for 15 years. Yeah, okay. I never had a pain like that in my life. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. And then he never showed up again. He never showed up again. And it's a pity. I hope he sees this. But the thing, what I want to say, there's different pains when the brain is not, he's used to get smacked. Yeah. And he could boom, shake off it and get on. But there's different pains and the brain's not used to it. You get, your subconscious brain is telling you some stories, maybe some painful stories from your past or whatever. Yeah. But it doesn't like pain. So you want to take his will to fight by pain. So that's why we use pain. We use pain to take his will to fight you. And that can be break a finger, poke his eye. Yeah. So the thing is, when I teach these things, I also take the fingers, take down. And actually, the thing is, because you can ask yourself, does it work through a weekend, right? And I remember one Sunday, one of the women came. She was a young woman, very beautiful. And she came next morning. And she said, I used your technique last night. I was like, what? Yeah, we went for a bar, a girl and friend of me. I was like, okay, I was tired, but she was fresh, right? I was like, okay, interesting. And they went to three different bars and this guy was stalking them. And then the last bar, he went like this. She was very intelligent, right? So he went like this and maybe it was for the breath, I'm not sure, but anyway, he did. And she took the fingers and just took him down. And he went on his knees, bam. And when he's on the knees, you can do everything's open. But she just left him and he left, yeah. Down, boom. And then because you stop that person, what is this? And then he's like, okay, that's painful. What else? So you're playing on what else can she do? What is that's the whole thing about ninjutsu. It's about the whole, you're playing on people's fear, right? You're playing on people's fear. If they have pain. Now people are used to fight, you have to do a different way, you have to behave in a different way, you have to know how people are fighting, but you should never fight that game. If I fight an MMA fighter, I'll totally lose. But if I fight my game, I have a chance. I'm not saying I'm winning, but I have a chance. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
because I will take his eye, I will smack his ear. Maybe he's lucky getting me down and then I wait for the opening. And if I have an opening, I will do whatever it takes for me for surviving. I will do all these things. Maybe he will win, maybe he will not. I mean, I'm also used to fight. So I'm not bad at fighting, right? But there's different places I could learn a lot. But don't play their game. That's the whole thing. Don't play their game.
Beautiful.
So yeah.
Whoa.
And that's what the thing I use for the women, because that's always, I mean, one woman, she was raped. She was raped in Greenland. She was in the fields and she was crying. She was sad, like some love story. She was 14 years old. And then she didn't hear this guy. He came, he attacked her and she bit him. She bit him and she got away, but she didn't break the bone. She didn't bite into the bone. So he was like freaking out or anything. He just bit. So he let go and she ran and he catch her and he raped her. And then she was showing on me how she was raped and things like this. And then I said, okay, that's an opening. Can you see there's an opening here? There's an opening here. He has to unzip. That's a place where he has to unzip. Yeah. That's a place where she has to either take off the panties or move it to the side, whatever she had a dress on, right? So there's always an opening. And if you play that game, say, sorry, sorry, sorry. And you're scared. It's natural. You go like this, sorry, 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 sorry. And at the moment, where's your hands? They're protecting your head. Boom, you can poke his eyes. Or you can spit his face. And that is your moment. There's so many moments of the right. But everything is timing, the right timing. Yeah. Also, if you have to escape from a home, the woman has to get out. She has to wait for the right timing.
Yeah.
So there's always a right timing. So you have to wait for that. If you are fighting the cage, different timing, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if it's, because the thing is, there's two fighters, equal fighters, they meet and somebody's going to win, go home yeah. with the medal yeah. and everything. Yeah. But on the street, he is choosing you because you're an easy target. He thinks yeah. you're an easy target. So he's two steps ahead. He chose you and he's attacking you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So these two steps, you have to protect yourself like, oh, sorry, whatever. And then when he's relaxing because he's the big, strong dude or he has a knife or whatever, you wait for the moment where there's an opening. Mm. And that's the whole trick. That's the totally different concept of having a sport martial art or survival art, right?
Mm.
And if a survival art, even in Bujikan with weapons, that you always learn openings and how to get in with the weapons and things like this. But the thing is, a battlefield fight is different than a rape situation or bully fight or anything like that. It's totally different. So it's always different concepts. So you have to see that in the context when you're teaching. You have to understand that there's different concepts, there's some different conditions. Mm. What happens the next time, 3 years later, this woman and another guy is following her. But then now this time she has the feeling, never again. So she picks up a big stone from the street and she makes sure he sees that. So what is he making? She's making show of force.
Mm.
And then she's not an easy target anymore.
No.
That's self-protection.
Yeah.
She's not even in a fight. She's just saying never again.
Yeah.
Right? Then she stands up or she walks and then the guy, he walks away, right? So the thing is you need to have inner strength. Either your platform is burning, the guy you're living with, he's a fuckhead, and that you have to protect your kid or whatever. That's actually also why I teach. This is what I experienced later. I mean, there's many things to why I teach, but the women gave me so good testimonials. I asked them for testimonials so I could inspire other women, but what happened was they inspired me. And then I realized, wow, this is so important work. That's why I do it. They are changing their life. They're leaving a boyfriend or they get a better job or they are going on a path, a self-discovery path to find more power, more freedom, right? And even save some people's life. They felt danger and they went out of that situation. They were totally sure and saved their life. So this is so important. But one thing is also, you are also, if you have a kid, if you have a kid when you're living together with a psychopath, you're also helping that kid by leaving.
Yeah.
Because that was my situation with my mom. She didn't, we couldn't leave. She didn't have the power to leave because you were in this bubble, you kind of stay in that. And all these things, the reason I'm not going to blame my mom, I'm not blaming her at all, but I'm just seeing that I had to work with all these things for so long, so many years, because she didn't have the strength. So I want to give women strength so they can stand up for themselves and they can protect their kids. And one woman, she was fighting like crazy against me. Yeah? And I was like, wow, what happened? She said, I was thinking of my 3 kids. Mm. I was like, okay, wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
And then a last thing I want to say, because the reason why I say this, I want to empower women who sees this. I was one woman I met in Japan. She said her brother was a soldier. He committed suicide after being deployed to Iraq, and 50 people was affected like this. And this is really sad story, right? And she was like, "You also have to teach soldiers. You have to teach people who have PTSD. It's so important what you do. Really, please do it." And what she said was, "It was not the unit. It was the families, it was the close friends, and everything who got affected because he took his own life out of desperation, right?" So if you have somebody who's in a situation where they don't have a family to go back home to, because I experienced that at one time, I had one woman, she was giving up. I was like, what, why? And she didn't have somebody to think about. And then I was reversing that idea. Okay, if you get raped as a woman, or even as a guy, right? But if you get raped, now we're talking about women. If you get raped as a woman, or even killed maybe, then that comes in the news. And more women get afraid.
Yeah.
And you affect your closest family, your friends in your circle, 20 or 50 or how many people that is, just like rings in the water, riddles, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you fight back and you get out of that situation, you empower 50 more women. And that was so powerful. I used this to the women and they remember it. And when they're laying there and just keep going, that's just the thing of keep going, keep going. And then suddenly they find an opening. Keep going, because you are freezing. You have four possibilities. The subconscious brain, it frees, it flights,
mm.
or it fights, but it can also faint.
Yeah.
If you're really scared, you can faint, yeah. right? Yeah. So that's the extreme freeze, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am teaching the women not to freeze. That's my job. I'm teaching them not to freeze. Keep going, mm. no matter what. Just keep going. And you have to find your own core to like yourself more and to know if you are here in the world. I think this is really beautiful. Because I remember one of the teachers in Japan, Nagato Sensei, he was saying, you were all chosen. I was like, what? You were chosen. You were here. You were the seed. You were the seed and your dad. And now you're here, you're chosen. And I was like, what is this? But then I heard the science found out, it's not maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, at least as of now I realized it. They said, you are really chosen. We always said it was the fastest sperm that came to the egg cell and fastest survival, right? But it's not, that's not how it is.
No.
It's actually the egg that chooses the sperm cell. So you are truly chosen. If you are here in flesh and blood, you're supposed to be here. And if you're supposed to be here, you're supposed to live a good life.
That's something I want to bring.
Amen.
Bring to oh come on. Bring to the yeah. I deeply respect you, Philip. And
same to you. You are doing this job and you're doing this with the kids, the bullying. Thank you. But I respect you too, Doc.
It's a tough job, especially because but I learned more and more, and I remember talking with Mikael just before we're ending here. I think it was Mikael maybe, and because I have to, I can't put the blame to all the others, which I've done for some years and being a part of the church and all that sort of, but I can't blame it. The only one I can do something with about is me. And okay, and what can I give to the world? I'm here for a reason. What can I do with it to give out? And
exactly.
And same when you spoke about your growing up here. When you grew up, and I've had same story. But what can I blame my father for being an asshole? No, I can't. The thing that I can impact now, and the responsibility I have is towards my daughter. And even though, and so on, whatever goes on there, still I have that. That's my responsibility.
It is.
What I do, what I'm doing for, she's the reason I'm doing the things for the kids who are being bullied, because I'm empowering her, and she will empower others as well.
Exactly.
I never thought about it, but she has what I'm doing for her. She will do for others as well, and it goes on and on.
It riddles. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. Not like yeah. it is, but it is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
The warrior path is not supposed to, I mean, the warrior path is supposed to be searching for peace.
Yeah. It's not, I spoke with a Shaolin monk from, he lives in Germany, Shi Hengyi. He's been talking on TEDx, which is there's five hindrances for becoming a better person, for become better. But I said the warpath, it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's not easy at all, but it's worth it.
Yeah, this is the poem. It's better to be a warrior in a garden than being a gardener in a war, right?
Yeah.
So you're preparing yourself for the worst.
Yeah.
But the preparation shouldn't be for it should be to be a better person also.
Yeah.
So you have to be in harmony with yourself, in harmony with nature. In harmony, nature is not only nature as a trees and ocean, but it's also the natural thing around you. So you have to be in harmony with yourself and everything around you, in your family, with your wife, with you have to find harmony. And harmony is really important. And and you have to protect what is worth of protection. Yeah. And what is worth of protection is also you.
Yeah.
So this is really important. You have to take care of that. And I think what Soko also gives is he's saying, well, if we're not using this martial art, we are preserving for the next generation. Mm. So for me, it's also, I was in the National Guard Special Recon Unit, I've never been to war, but I was 6 years in that unit, but I'm preserving the tradition in the unit to go on to the next tradition. So that part I take in, that's, so if you look at it like that, maybe I'm not going to use it, but I learn skills, I can do things, but I preserve, I preserve the bloodline, you could say. I keep the bloodline, like in the Bujigan, like in what I do now. With this knowledge I built up, I want it not to be lost. So I want to make, that's why I made the online school. I want to make sure that my know-how gets out to as many as possible. That's my goal, to help thousands of women. And if, hopefully millions. That's 3.8 billion women on this planet. 3.8 billion, right? If I can have, now I taught 700 women. If I can teach the first 1,000, then 10,000, then 100,000. Oh, wow. They will change the world. It will change the world because it's like, and they get empowered to do other things, and we all inspire to do things, and we are doing things that is helping other people. That's like my Lama said, is that I'm helping people to invent other things. But why don't you go into politics? No, I'm helping my students to go into politics. So whatever you're good at, helping other people to inspire them to do whatever they are good at, right? So I think that's so important. That we give them the spark, whatever we have of our knowledge, our know-how, our inspiration, our love, our trust in ourselves is also giving trust to them, to their core.
It is. It is.
Right. So the self-confidence is intoxicating.
It is.
It is. It's contagious. That's what I wanted to say. The right word, contagious. Contagious, because it's not a self-confident that is built on a false ego. I'm the best. I'm the strongest. It's a confidence that staying in, I am worth of living. I'm worth of being in this world, and I want to share my love for what I do, for breathing and being a human being on this planet, make it a better place. And when you can do that, you inspire other people for the same. Right? Inspiration is the key. Inspiration is like riddles in the water, and you get, everybody's like, "Well, what is that? I want more of that. That's cool. I also want that."
Yeah.
So.
Perfect.
I think we should stop here.
Yeah.
I need to go.
I will put up the link to the your academy, the Inner Warrior.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I really enjoyed to talk to you. Last time, maybe for the CS, we talked together for three hours. Yeah.
Almost four.
We decided it was too long.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to keep it tight. And then I thank you again for inviting me, Dag. And I wish you the best of luck with all your anti-bullying with your kids, and make it spread into all the schools. And
that's what I'm dreaming
benefit
about.
A lot.
I'm dreaming about it. I'm
quite sure you will manage, and I wish you the best, man.